This episode of the Fresh Start Family Show is brought to you by our Quick Start Learning Bundle, how to build a compassionate, firm, and kind discipline toolkit that works with kids of all ages. Head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your Quick Start Bundle so you can get going today on building up a strong, compassionate, discipline toolkit in your home. Well, hello there, listeners. I'm so excited that you are here for a new episode. I'm Wendy Snyder, positive parenting educator and family life coach, and your host of the Fresh Start Family Show. This episode is a good one, you guys. It's with Terry, and him and I had the honor of interviewing our dear friend and mentor, Dan Sivels, and we're talking about how it's okay to be a work in progress, and also about how ruminating and worrying is unhelpful in our lives, but constructive feedback or looking at ways we need to learn and grow is actually good and healthy. And so Dan's just going to drop so much incredible knowledge in this conversation, and I'm excited for you guys to hear it. But he's actually been on the show before. He was on episode 27 about why resistance shows up in our lives. It's a really good one, especially if you have maybe a spouse that's resistant to this work, or you just have areas in your life that you're like, why am I so resistant at times to learning a new way or doing things differently? Dan really speaks to how to handle resistance in episode 27 of the Fresh Start Family Show, and it is just such a good one. But, you know, he talked a lot about the way he became a life coach and why he is so passionate about what he does. But I thought today, before we just get started on this episode, I would just read to you a little bit about Dan from his website so you can get to know him a little bit before we hop right into discussion. This discussion today. So Dan writes on his website, once a lawyer who built my purpose within the walls of a courtroom, I could not ignore the innate feelings that I was meant for something else, something more. I shed my skepticism towards self-reflection and was challenged to confront restrictions I imposed on my potential. I decided to embark on an inward journey that revealed my passion for personal growth. I began exploring that passion and found that I come alive when I guide others toward their own calling. I traded my career as an attorney for a role as a certified instructor and life coach. My gift is guiding others toward their true purpose. And let me tell you, he is a damn good life coach. He was one of the first life coaches that I ever had guide me in a Your Infinite Life training and coaching course room. And I'll never forget the life-changing things he said to me. And he helped me through so many limiting beliefs during that initial course. And to this day, he's just stayed a dear friend because I admire Terry, and I both admire him so much. He's actually Terry's life coach now. So sometimes Terry will talk to him weekly, other times monthly, but he just really is an incredible soul, and we just cannot say enough great things about Dan. So you're going to love this episode. Again, we're talking today about how it's okay to be a work in progress, and every single one of us is a work in progress. So without further ado, enjoy this episode, families. Thanks so much for listening. If you haven't yet, hop over to your favorite podcast platform and make sure you push subscribe. And then also make sure you leave us a review, you guys. If you love our show, one of the best ways to say thank you to us for providing this free content for you is just to hop over to iTunes and leave a review. We would really, really be blessed by that. So thanks for taking an extra 3 to 5 minutes to do that today, and enjoy this episode.
Well, hey there, I'm Stella. Welcome to my mom and dad's podcast, The Fresh Start Family Show. We're so happy you're here. We're inspired by the ocean, Jesus, and rock and roll, and believe deeply in the true power of love and kindness. Together, we hope to inspire you to expand your heart, learn new tools, and strengthen your family. Enjoy the show.
All right, hold on, let's take a sip of coffee because you guys are laughing. Well, hey there, families, and welcome to a new episode of the Fresh Start Family Show. We're so happy that you are here. Terry and I are beyond excited to be sitting here with our dear friend and mentor, Dan Sivels, who is a lawyer turned certified instructor and life coach. Welcome, Dan.
Yeah, Dan. Hello. It is good to be here. It is good to be here.
It is good to have you. I have been anticipating this interview for a while now because we just have so much fun when we sit with you. Dan, listeners, you are going to enjoy this conversation because Dan is a wealth of knowledge, but he's also just so much fun. And between him and Terry, we're going to try to get through this interview without cracking up the entire time.
One of the reasons why we're so excited to have Dan on the show is because of very things like this, that we can talk about subjects and the messes of life and still have fun doing it, still laugh, still poke fun at ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because it's your choice. That's part of it. You know, that can be part of the process if you let it.
Yes.
So let's talk about our subject matter and get going, Wen.
Okay, you guys. So we are going to talk about how it is okay to be a work in progress. And we've got a lot of questions for Dan. We're going to have a great talk today. But one of them is going to be how to separate the difference between negative self-talk or rumination, as Dan likes to call it, versus constructive awareness or realizing that you got some stuff to work on. Another title I had an idea to call this episode was how to believe in yourself when you realize you got a lot of stuff to work on.
That was a long drawn out a lot.
It's fair. That was fair.
Yeah.
That was fair.
So yes. So this is so good. And like Terry said, I'll back up. If you haven't listened to the Fresh Start Family Show episode where Dan was our guest before, I should have checked the number of it. But it's called How to Handle Resistance when you have people in your life that are very resistant to learning, growing, doing something different, getting healing work or therapy or life coaching. And that was back, but if you do a quick Google, you will find it. Resistance episode on the Fresh Start Family Show. But one of the things we love about you, Dan, is like Terry said, you make it fun. You make learning and personal development fun. And holy smokes, you will call something out and you will somehow do it with humor. But you have said to me some of the most profound things I've ever heard in my life that really changed me and set me on a different direction in my own path as a mom, as a wife. But we've known Dan now for probably, I think, a decade. We got to know each other through Your Infinite Life, where
back when he had short hair.
Yes. And one of the courses that I went through where you were a course instructor was called Remembrance Course. And I'll never forget, we went through this incredible exercise where you helped me to kind of uncover this old limiting belief pattern that I was operating out of that had something to do with like the world's crazy. Everyone's nuts. Like I got to do it all by myself. I'm alone. So therefore I'm going to freaking do it because I got to freaking do it. And the new one was like, no, everyone's fine. I'm safe. I'm loved. Therefore, I must just keep giving hugs. And it was like groundbreaking. It was a lot. That was the
I believe version. You had a little girl that showed up in your life that helped you make that move.
Oh, my gosh.
Stella!
Stella. And here's the cool thing about that class that literally was one of those statements that it changed everything for me. But you know, after we got through that exercise and I had shed a few tears, beautiful, amazing tears, and I hugged you and I was like, thanks, Dan. And you were like, yeah. You're like, well, here's, I got a question for you though. You were like, Wendy, when are you going to finally freaking believe that you're an amazing mother? And I was like, what? And it was like the deepest, most, it affected me so much because I realized at that point, I hadn't put a lot of thought into it, but I sure as hell did not believe I was a great mom. I could have told you 50 reasons why I was effing my child up, why I was stuck, why I wish I could do better, why I was like all these, before I really started learning all this stuff with you and Your Infinite Life. And to this day, I still look at that moment and it just sent me down a path where I started to think about things in a much different light. And it was just really beautiful. So you do And you just have this incredible way of doing that for people. So So talk to us about, let's just get it kicked off with the difference between negative self-talk or rumination versus constructive awareness. How would you ping that up?
Well, and you know, I'm gonna speak from kind of my experience at first, just as a man and as a father and a husband. One of the things that occurs in life is we have challenges and we've got to figure those out. Well, I love to figure things out. And, you know, there's in that process of figuring things out, there's going to be negative self-talk. There's going to be some positive self-talk too when you're figuring things out. You know, but there comes a point when you're figuring things out that you can feel it if now you're no longer figuring things out as much as you're going over things again just out of worry. Or, you know, any insecurity or just the unknown, you start thinking it through again and again and again and again. Now, that is when now that's somewhat destructive because you're no longer figuring it out. You're actually using like this figuring out process to settle your fear down. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really work that way. Destructive talk in that sense isn't going to make you feel better. And so, and let's say something about negative self-talk. Everyone has it. It's just a normal part of the brain. The ego is going to generate negative self-talk. Why? Very simply, because its job is to keep you alive. And so it wants to be in control. You know, if you are riding your bike down the road and close your eyes and lift up your arms and feel free, it's the ego that says, hey, this is dumb. You're going to wreck, you know? But it's also the thing that it will generate negative self-talk because that's what makes your life predictable. We think of worst case scenarios easily. We have to kind of sometimes struggle to believe best case scenarios. You know, our ego prepares us for what can go wrong. It makes sense that it would. It's just that you want to pay attention to when your ego is just doing its natural job of kind of telling you all the risks versus when you're figuring things out as a purpose towards some goal. Your ego will just negative self-talk all day. And you can tell what it is because it's usually not as smart as the way you think. So my negative self-talk, if it's something like, well, you're dumb. Like, I know that's my negative self-talk. My negative self-talk isn't going to say, you know, you don't seem to have a great vocabulary in this area. Maybe you should study such and such. My ego's never going to be smart.
Yes.
So when I'm figuring things out, a lot of times I'm using education, experience, I'm smart. When I have negative self-talk, a lot of the times it's simply critical. It's not constructive. What is constructive? Was the phrase you used, constructive awareness? Yeah. Or what did you say? Yeah. The thing is, when you become aware of something you were not aware of before that's in your way, the first thing that happens is some suffering because you realize, oh, you know, I've been doing that. I didn't know it. So inevitably, you might have something to clean up with your wife or your kids or people at work when you discover, oh, I've been acting the way I didn't know. You know, constructive awareness is the first step. The second step is always going to be self-acceptance.
Yeah.
So constructive awareness, an example of that is, I may think I'm connecting with people at work and I may get feedback. You don't seem to listen. Now I'm thinking about back when I practiced with a lot of people, and that actually was important to me because if my staff didn't feel like I was communicating and connected to them and seeing them, we didn't get nearly done what we needed to. And more importantly, things get missed. Problems get unsolved, resentment builds, the social structure begins to suffer. You know, all because I was doing something I didn't know. So when I find out, okay, now I know, oh, I can see what I'm doing. That's when I'm at risk of beating myself up.
Yeah.
Oh, now I see it. What's the appropriate thing to do? Well, I'll beat myself up. Well, it's not, but that's what we'll do first. And that's not constructive, to beat ourselves up. What constructive would be then is to look at that and find self-acceptance in it. Now, what does that mean? It means you got to love yourself, like yourself as you are. You know, you probably have people in your life you love that way. Most of us don't say to our kids, you know, I love you, but here's the five things you need to finish before you're really going to get daddy's love.
Well, we say it in our actions. If you're, yeah. If you're stuck in a, you know, yeah.
We'll end up doing that with our children if we do it with ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, so if the key is to walk the walk, to teach your children, you know, you got to do it. And so if you find yourself being critical with that awareness, the key is you've just got to accept yourself as you are. And here's the truth. You're not ever going to be done.
Yeah.
I think that's so important for people to realize. I mean, as I was listen to you talk through that, Dan, I'm so right there with you. But just to make sure that everybody who's listening is walking down the same path as us, let's put something out to you guys. You're all a work in progress. And I know, Dan, you mentioned that there's something in the male brain or ego that thinks that somehow we fix and we finish, that there are these moments in our life, or maybe even years, or maybe even from here on out, that you're right, you're finished.
Yeah.
And I think in order for listeners to grasp what we're talking about, you just have to be humble enough to say, you're never finished. You are constantly a work in progress. And being humble enough to understand that will give you the self-awareness to see these things and not like you were pointing out, just like a thing that happened in the workplace for you. If you had such a wall put up that's like, no, I'm good, it's their problem, you're going to walk through life just with a, you know, a set of blinders on, and, you know, that's not going to serve you very well. It's not going to serve the people around you very well. And I imagine that everybody's here because they want to step forward. So,
yeah,
I coach a lot of people all over the age spectrum. You know, one of the hardest things is when I'm coaching, you know, I'm going to use a man in this instance, who's in his 60s and is either done or wrapping up career. If they haven't done personal development work, that's when it hits.
Yeah.
And it's hard, because at 65, often you look back and you're like, oh goodness, I've got a lot more things that went differently than I thought they did that are heartbreaking. And I've got very little time to fix it all. Yeah. That's the feeling. Yeah. And so the thing I would say is no one gets a pass. Life has requirements, and each of us, just like on my shirt, I have a tag that tells me how to take care of it.
Yeah.
We have care instructions, and if we don't take care, things won't work. You know, things will fall apart. Love has to be nurtured. No different than earning a living requires effort and change and work. We have to eat every day. You know, there's a lot of things that we've got to do throughout our life. And one of them is we've got to work on what's on inside of us. And there's a ton of ways to do that. But my recommendation is that everyone would do that. Now, I can tell you my experience in business. Most businesses recommend coaching for people. Like, it's become a thing of, why wouldn't we do this? Because, you know, talking about yourself for an hour to a therapist can be great, but sometimes if you can talk to someone more than that, that can be even better. So, you know, I would say to people, seek help, seek guidance, and begin that process. If you are in a position where you recognize, oh, I haven't been treating people the way I want, you know, especially my loved ones, and you're feeling really guilty about that, that can end up being a barrier to you getting help. You're just so overwhelmed with acknowledging, hey, I've messed up, that you'll have a tendency to put it off. And the thing is, look in the mirror and just say, okay, I gotta get back on the road. And it's hard to do that. But Terry, what you said is really necessary. Humility. You know, humility sometimes is just recognizing that the most loving thing we can do, the strongest thing we can do, is learn and get some guidance.
Let's chat for a hot sec, openly and honestly, about what your discipline toolkit looks like in your home right now. If you're anything like most parents, you're relying on the hand-me-down set you inherited. Timeouts, spankings, threatening of spankings, taking iPads away, 3-2-1 countdowns, groundings, taking away toys, e-bikes, iPhones, any or all of those kind of tactics that create a total relationship strain and don't even work long-term to end your child's misbehavior for good. Meaning, you might spank your child or send them to timeout today for being, air quotes, mean to their sister or disrespecting you, but then 3 days from now, they're repeating the same misbehavior, which causes you to flip your lid because you know they know better. I want to help you learn a new way so you can end the vicious cycle that's keeping you stuck as a parent and causing you to feel super frustrated that nothing is working to get your strong-willed, stubborn child to behave better. My team and I have recently completely refreshed our Compassionate Discipline Quick Start Learning Bundle to help you learn a new way to teach your kids important life lessons, a new way to help your children learn from their mistakes and take responsibility for their actions. You can just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and I'll personally send you a message with a link to download this free bundle. I'm going to help you shift out of a punishment mindset and into a compassionate discipline one where you fully trust that connection-based, firm and kind discipline tools are all you need to be a strong leader in your home who holds your kids responsible when they misbehave, but does it in a way where they are learning the vital life skills they are missing when they mess up. So again, just DM me the word shift over on Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline. To grab your free bundle now. I am so excited for you to shift out of feeling guilty and shameful when you lay your head on your pillow at night and shift into feeling confident and proud of the way you handled yourself as a parent, even when you were wildly triggered and upset about the mistake your child made. Okay, I'm excited for you to dive into this free resource. I'll see you in my DMs and inside the free discipline bundle.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh my gosh, so good. This makes me think of like how when it comes to personal development and having a mentor to talk to often, right? Because I feel like that's the key, is the consistency instead of the emergencies, right? Like that's what's been so nice for us over the years is like, you know, as we got to know you through the Your Infinite Life organization and we'd see you a lot, right? Versus like the last few years, especially because of COVID, we haven't seen you as much. And there'll be like an emergency where Terry has a bad day or he's switching careers or, you know, his mind might flare up and we're like, we got to call Dan. It's an emergency. Like, let's get Dan on the phone. Let's have him help us or help you, Terry, or whatever. And it's like, I know that that is not as effective as just making this part of your routine, making this part of like how you take care of yourself, right? And I remember it's like the years I had the mentorship when I was working with Pam, you know, the founder of Your Infinite Life, every single month we would talk, we would work through some things. I would shed some tears if I need to. I would discover some new limiting beliefs that had popped up or some new protection behaviors. And those were the times when I had the most peace, or I was able to shed the most kind of spider webs. But it makes me think of exercise, right? I remember 20 years ago when Terry and I first, 25 now, when we first moved to California, I was not a jogger. I was like, I do not jog. I cannot jog. My body just doesn't do it. I grew up a springboard diver. And he was like, are you sure, babe? He's like, let's just try it a little bit. Let's just try it a little bit. And I was like, okay. Over the years now, it has become my main form of self-care. Like at the end of every single day, almost, I'm like, later, I'm going out on the trail. I grab the dog and it's like so life-giving. I can't imagine life without jogging. So it becomes this like enjoyable act, right? And still going up the hill behind our house, which is like this giant hill, kicks my butt sometimes. I'm like, whoo. The other day it was cold, very cold here in California, Dan. Mm. Very cold.
You wouldn't. Yeah, I'm sure it was life-threatening.
Yeah. And my lungs were kind of on fire, but I got to the top and there was this beautiful sunset happening. And so it's kind of the same with for me, the personal development work, it's become that. Like where now, at first I was like, whoa, this is weird. Like, what do you mean we're going to uncover limiting beliefs or look at my protections behaviors? Or what do you mean Dan's going to like call me out, you know, and be like, why do you do this or whatever? And now I like can't wait to get into a classroom with you. I would like love to have a phone call with you every single week, you know, like it just becomes part of how you take care of yourself. I love the analogy of the tag on our clothes. Like if you want to have peace and joy and you just take care of yourself and all the personal development work, it's not scary. It's liberating. It's amazing. One more thing I want to say, there's someone we had on the podcast who explained it not as personal development work, but as like self-liberation work where you're like,
yeah,
you're uncovering your true self. Cause all the crap that we do, the yelling, the denial, the blame, the like thinking it's all our fault, ruminating, whatever it is, all those protections, they've just stuff that's built up. That's not truly how God designed us to live. That's not truly what our hearts are. So I love that idea of thinking of it as like self-liberation. You're clearing the cobwebs so you can like truly shine as a human being instead of living like buried underneath or like carrying around this backpack of rocks.
You know, many people have probably heard this, but one of the regrets that people who are near death talk about is they wish they would have lived a life true to themselves.
Yeah.
And in further talking, what that really boils down to is they wish that every time they had met fear, they had faced it, and because that's the only way they could have been true to themselves. And when I say face fear, I mean feel it.
Yes.
You know, of not feeling it and doing it doesn't work. If you feel the fear and do it, you transform. If you avoid the fear and do it, you just avoid the fear and do it. You don't reap the same kind of benefit. And so it does make so much sense. Like even when you're talking about your running and you talk about the sun coming up or the sun setting, either one, what we do is we give people the tools so when the sun does rise, they'll notice.
Yes.
You know, and that happens a million times a day. You come home from a hard day, and if you have five children, you know, at that moment, that may have seemed like a bad life choice. But it's a choice that has been made. And if you can find a way to come in and let the chaos of these little people actually soothe you, like, that's fun, you know, and I don't care what success you have, you'll reach a point at some time where you'll look back and it will matter to you that during that time you were building yourself and expressing yourself and succeeding, that you didn't take down the people in your house.
Yeah.
Or that they are fulfilled and happy with you. You know, and the thing is, if you don't do this work and you reach success, what you're going to lack is satisfaction and fulfillment. And it's like, that's kind of, you know, that's like saying, okay, I'm going to earn the money and then I'm just going to take the money and throw it away. It's like, that's dumb. And so is it to think that, oh, I can do all this work for my career. I can learn all these things, but when it comes to being dad, I'm nailing it without any help. Like, no, that's not the way it works. You know, and having friends is helpful. It's just that your friends often get to listen to you complain. And that's not working on it, complaining.
Oh, good point.
You know, yeah. That's the benefit of talking to someone that's willing to call you out, whether you need to be told you're a good mom or you're making a mistake. You want to know the truth. And the reality is, as parents and as husbands, that we sometimes will be very logical and off track.
Yeah.
And we'll know it later sometimes. And sometimes you can tell you know it, you're just denying it, because when you re-explain your point, you have to do it with anger.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, but the truth is, you know, we will make a lot of logical things in our head, but if we said them out loud, we'd be like, well, that does not make sense. You know, do that? And it's like, yeah, that's the place to start, because why do you do that? All of us grow up with limiting beliefs. It's just the nature of life. And you know, we could say even the purpose of life, if it's about discovering ourselves and living our life, it means we're going to uncover these limiting beliefs. One of the biggest things, and if you guys don't mind, I'm going to segue into something
simple.
One of the things that happen is that when you are parenting, you're going to have core fears. I'm not worthy, some version. Every human being does. You know, in business, it shows up sometimes as I had a dream, I was giving a business talk, or I was in school naked in front of the room.
Yeah.
You know, we all share, I'm a fraud. Everybody else thinks I'm great, but if they really knew, they know I'm a fraud. Like, that is something that happens with all humans. And it's a doorway to growth. It's not going to be eradicated. Just like feelings can't be eradicated. It's a part of the human condition. But what it requires of us is that when we discover things that are limiting us, it requires us to become aware of them and figure out how to eradicate them. You know, that's just what life requires. And so looking at those limiting beliefs, sometimes you need help to do that. I would say, I still need help to do that. I'm just really more aware of when I need to reach out, if that makes sense. You know, and go ahead. I thought you guys.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that, you know, all of this does take a lot of either self-awareness, or it takes a coach or a course to point this out in you, or if you have a friend or a spouse kind of point these things out to you. And it seems like to me that people usually go from like, there's nothing wrong with me, there's this wall up, like, how dare you point something out to me, to then maybe they then flip to a completely different script in their head of that they're weak or broken. Like, they go from like the strongest like stance to then it's like, oh my gosh, I'm
not going to put on pants today.
I'm a complete failure. So,
which like, is shame, right?
So I think that's an important thing to kind of prepare people for. I mean, you know, I'm sure people have felt this at some point, but if you are starting to walk down this path of growth, and then something stares at you in the face, whether you're pointing it out to yourself or somebody else's you've given somebody else the permission to, or maybe you haven't given them permission to, and they are just pointing it out to you, that it's important for you to understand that you're not weak or broken. You're actually being refined in this process, which refining is actually making you stronger and more aware. So talk to us for a minute, because you've taken far more people through that path than I have.
Yeah, because I think, sorry, Dan, before you go, I think a lot of men like see it as weak, or like, you know, if I admit I was in the wrong when I screamed at my kid, or I'm always like threatening or blaming my wife or whatever it is like that, and then I admit that I need help and that I have a problem, that I either it's with anger or like not believing in myself. There's all different types of protections that like that can be like, you're weak, you're broken. Now you're going to be viewed upon as like some sissy baby. That's how
sissy
I interpret
baby.
It.
Sissy baby.
Well, this is an easy one because it's an example of how, in our head, we might be thinking, I don't need this, I'm good, I'm strong, whatever. But if the truth is, the strong thing, the thing that requires courage, is hard. And that's always going to be the truth. Acknowledging the truth is always going to be strength. And if the truth is, you have something going on that is affecting your loved ones, that matters to you. And the truth is, you can do things about it. That's always going to be the courageous thing. I think of even like men crying. The men that I think of as a man's man cries.
Yeah.
You know, the people that are, and I don't mean, I mean, the way you cry is very not important. Like, I might tear up, which is a full-on emotion for me. You know, yeah. So it's not that you got to look a certain way. But if you don't have the ability to tap into those feelings, then you're getting a D.
Yeah.
And totally. I don't know how that's ever, you know, yeah, I'm nailing it. I'm getting a 60%. Boom, boom, boom. Nope. You're failing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No different than if you walk out to your car and one of your tires is flat and you just say, it's got air in it.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it doesn't. See you tonight.
Oh my gosh, it's so
you know,
good.
And literally what you don't realize at some point, especially over a decade, if you're working in an office or you're around people, everyone knows but you. And how a dude will think, that's the strong thing, because in the face of everyone seeing what I do every day to disturb relationships, I'm 100% convinced I do nothing. It's all them. You know, that doesn't even sound strong.
Right.
Yeah. So that, you know, one of the challenges that occur for a man is, okay, I love my father, and we all have different kinds of parents. I'm talking about the dad who looks at his dad as he was the best, or he still is the best. However, if you want to be your own man, there comes a time where you have to look at your father, not to put him down, not to pick him apart, but you have to look and say, okay, what do I want different from the way he was? It's not about criticizing him, but I think sometimes that's where men will stop. Like, hey, I love and honor my father. I'm not going to look for his faults. And it's not about that. For me, I remember knowing when I was a young father, I was scared for when my son was going to turn 8, because that was the time I stopped hanging out with my dad. I don't know why. It could have been things going on in his life. You know, I know that now. But at the time, I remember feeling like, as a young father, oh, I don't know how to do this. So I was scared. Yeah. And I had enough dysfunction with my dad that it made it easier to kind of think, oh, I got to work on this. But for people that don't have that dysfunction, they feel sometimes like they're being disloyal to say, oh, whoa, I don't want to be the way my dad was. How do I want to be different? And what I'm saying is the most loyal thing you can do is work on progressing yourself. That's what you want for your children. That's what your dad wants for you. And so some of that is about, okay, how did I feel as a child in my home? Am I creating what I want my family to feel? You know, if I'm not, am I brave enough to get help? Because that is bravery. You know, courage and bravery require that you feel afraid. If you don't feel afraid, it is not courage or bravery. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we're like, I love to be brave and I do it without feeling anything. That's not bravery.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
oh my gosh.
Embracing fear is a really important thing that can help you see, oh my goodness, I'm afraid of things that I shouldn't be afraid of. You know, I'm not afraid to walk into a courtroom and fight and lose. Or fight and win, but I'm afraid to acknowledge that I don't play very well with my son.
Yes.
Well, that just doesn't seem very manly.
That's so true.
You know, so I struggled to play with my son. I didn't want to leave it that way. So I got help and I found ways to change it. The thing about the mind is you can change it. We all have habitual thinking. It's created when we're a kid. We've been using it our whole life. But that habitual thinking can change with consistent intention and action. So like when you exercise, Wendy, if you have a mantra or in the moment that you feel that connection, you know, from jogging or running, if in that moment you think of grief, anything you have grief about, that's healing. Yeah. Like, you know, there are so many ways we can do work that is simple. We're already doing the things. We already have created the structure, the exercise, for which all we need to do is add something to it, and we can heal ourselves during exercise. Why wouldn't you do that if you can? You know, it's kind of like saying, I mean, I know anybody that's ever worked out with a trainer understands form is important.
Yeah.
Oh, working on your inside, that's form. It's important.
Yes.
Hey, families, I'm pausing this episode just to make sure you know where you can go. If you want to join me for Kate Northrup's Relaxed Money Financial Healing Workshop happening April 23rd through 25th, it's completely free. And it's a 3-day live stream event where she's going to teach you all about nervous system regulation and how to identify where in your life you might be operating from a lack mindset when it comes to your finances, and also just become more conscious of maybe some limiting beliefs that you have around money, and also really become intentional about what you want to hand down to your children when it comes to generational cycles around finances and money. So you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax. Or you can head over to Instagram. I'm at Fresh Start Wendy, and just shoot me a DM with the word relax, and I will help you get registered for Kate's free workshop. But I am a proud affiliate partner of Kate's programs because she just really has radically transformed my own life. And I'm just so excited for you also to learn with Kate all that she has to teach about nervous system regulation and healing and abundance when it comes to your own finances. All right, enjoy. And I will personally be at every single day of that workshop. So when you're there, make sure you say hello to me in the comments because I'll be there also learning with Kate. All right, freshstartfamilyonline.com/relax. Enjoy.
I think it's important for people to realize too that when this first kind of stares at you in the face, you might want to retreat, and you might feel like, I get defensive. I don't want to be wrong, or I want to say, okay, I'm okay being wrong, but let me humble you as well. If I'm going to work on two things, like I'm going to give you your two things to work at, out too, because we got to both be wrong together. But so everybody kind of deals with it in a slightly different way. But what I want to encourage people listening to understand is that feeling is your indicator that you need to step into it, not run away from it, that you need to kind of, so to speak, like set your defense down, put your guns down and say, okay, I need to look at this with fresh eyes. I need to step into it. I either need to get, some help or spend a little time self-reflecting on it to see what I haven't been seeing. But I would just encourage people if you start to feel this feeling of defensiveness, or I want to run the other way, that's your indicator that you really should do this.
Yeah, it is. And it's okay to feel that and even react to it, because most of us don't come to the table finally until we've spilled a few things. it's a little messy. That's okay. And just to, the idea, I know it's early morning where I am, but spitting in soup, I'm going to talk about that. When somebody spits in your soup, it's done. You can't clean it out. It's over. It's ruined. It doesn't matter how big of a ladle you get. It's over. And the thing is, the moment you're defensive, everyone else knows what you don't know. And that to me is unacceptable. They already know. Just like you see someone when they're defensive, I'm right about a lot. And the person defensive is losing. It doesn't matter what they say, And as a man, I want to be right. And if I am wrong, that's a problem. And so when I'm defensive, I know for sure there's something for me to see. And if I think the smart thing is to know that and not look, that is dumb.
Oh my gosh, it's so
yeah,
good.
I smell, do you smell smoke, honey? No, but there's a fire. Everybody can smell it. Your no, it confirms you can smell it.
Oh my gosh.
And so then all I want to say is then you can either be right to one person in the world, that's yourself, and you look dumb, or you can just accept the fact that 1 + 1 = 2 and you're arguing for 1 + 1 = 3. It's just not true. When you're defensive, something's going on.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah, we see this so much in, the work of positive parenting around like when families try to switch from, traditional punishment, a lot of fear, force, pain, kids you gotta make them feel worse in order to make them feel to behave better. And then a new concept gets brought into the family of hey, there's this thing called compassionate discipline. Maybe we try it. I see a lot of the defensiveness show up there, especially in the spouses.
Yeah.
So, oh my goodness, it's so good. And two more things for you before we wrap up today, Dan. Gosh, I wish we could literally talk for hours, but I hear a lot of the men specifically in our Bonfire membership program. I want to make sure that everyone listening understands that we talk a lot about the heavy-handed of not heavy-handed, but the aggression or the anger or the defensiveness. But there's a lot, I think, men and women, doesn't matter, but who go to the withdraw, the protection becomes it's all my fault. I give in, I can't, I have trouble sticking to the boundaries with my kids. For lack of a better word, it can become a victim mindset, right? As far as just making sure everyone understands that there's all different types of things that can show up in your life where you realize this doesn't seem to be working very well.
Yeah. Kids help. Sure. Yeah. They're delightful helpers.
Yes. Yeah. But it's like not always so heavy-handed. It can be like if you realize like, gosh, I keep going to this place where I feel like, you know, it's my fault or I'm the worst, or I just thought it was important to point out that it's because I feel like there's a lot of talk around like the defensiveness and the anger comes out, but there's other signals that stuff is going on that we need.
You can tell because you'll have a feeling, a physical feeling that often involves tightness somewhere. That's how you can usually tell you're in a protection. You'll feel it. You know, I think it's important to mention too that confidence and self-esteem are two different things. You know, you might be a confident person. Mm. People may see and feel that confidence. But if your self-esteem doesn't match that confidence, it's like you're the only one not benefiting from it. And so you may even feel confident, but if you've got an internal dialogue that is not accurate, like your self-esteem is not giving you pleasure, you know, then that's something to work on. And the reality is your family may not know. If you are confident, you may do a pretty good job of hiding. But again, hiding isn't very courageous.
Yeah.
You know, and yes. So when you have something different going on internally than what people think going on externally, stop that. You're denying yourself the pleasures and the peace and the joy that just naturally comes, even in chaos. You know, you come home. If you can come home with a self-esteem that is loving, and you can come home with an open heart, and you're stressed, you might have a difficult night. But at some point, everybody can start laughing. Right. And the moment the laughter is there, it's cleansed. Oh, and if you can laugh at yourself, you know, oh my gosh, I can see everybody is walking on eggshells because of me right now. Let's do something about that. Oh my gosh, can you imagine as a child if your dad would have said, oh my gosh, you're walking on eggshells because of me, buddy.
Oh,
now if that it doesn't require bravery, I don't know what else would.
Well, so I can see it in both of us right now. I mean, just in you talking about that, it's wow.
Yeah. Anytime I think like, again, it's not to come down on your parents, but when people ask questions like that, it always hits me. Like, what would that have been like as a child to have your dad turn to you and be like, whoops, I'm doing that thing again, aren't I? Where I intimidate you or
I've been thinking about work and I'm in a fight at work. And I can tell when I'm thinking about that with you, I'm not listening very well.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, that kind of thing to me makes me feel like a man. You know, the man I want to be. And it's not about, oh, I wish my dad would have been that way. I work on those things. We all work on that stuff. But it's really about recognizing, oh, I didn't have that. And I can see how I've had to do a lot of work around that. I want to see if I can't avoid that for my kid. He'll have other work.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But my job is to look at what is truthfully there and handle it. Whether that's inside of me or it's outside of me, that's what I want to do. And I think all men and moms too, you know, they want that as well. And so the truth is you're a work in progress. That's the deal.
Yes. Oh my gosh. One last thing before we wrap up, when you talk about the self-confidence versus it was about self-esteem.
Self-esteem.
That's what it was. Yeah. I remember another pivotal moment was I was in class, parenting class, actually, with Susie Walton, our friend. Oh my gosh. And we had done this exercise where we were kind of reliving, kind of like, you know, going through and redoing a situation that had like gone not so well with our parents. And I remember there's this one situation where my dad and I got into a fight. I feel like I was 13 or something. He was like trying to take away the TV in my room, like some traditional punishment of like, I'll show you, kid, I'll stick it to you. And I was like fighting for it, man. I was a sass, spicy kid. And I was fighting for it. And we were like, you know, got into this thing. And somehow I fell down and I like cut my leg, like my upper leg, really bad. Like I still have this scar where I'm like, whoa, I wonder if that needed stitches that day, but whatever, it's fine. And it was just this, like, even thinking about it now, it was so full of like, it was traumatic, right? Because you're just stuck in this, like, everyone's emotions are high. And then in my family, it was like the next day, it was like, you never talked about it. There was no redos. There was no amends. There was no reconciliation. It was like, well, that friggin' sucked. And then the next day it was, or dinner, it was like, would you like iced tea or water? You know, it's like, we're not going to talk about this. Like, it just, everything got brushed underneath the rug. But we were doing this exercise around, and I think we redid it or something. And I remember raising my hand and being like, okay, that was cool and all. I like the redo, but like, I don't feel like that kind of stuff affected me. And I remember saying the classic, like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Like, you know, you hear parents say that all the time. Well, I was raised with corporal punishment and I'm fine. Air quotes, fine. And Susie just looks straight at me and she goes, okay. She goes, how's your self-esteem? And I was like, oh, I'm good. I was like, have you seen me? Like, I walk around. I mean, you know, I'm like,
my response would have been, shut up, Susie.
Yeah. And, but I remember the question was so weird to me. I was like, you see me, I am a confident, I wear cheetah jackets, I will tell you how I feel, I am the one, like, I will speak up, I am brave. And that was another pivotal moment where it just permeated into the cells of my being. And here we are 10 years ago. And it like evokes emotion in me because I was like, fuck no, I did not have fucking self-esteem. I had fucked up. And thank God, because of this work, like, I've unraveled so much. And now, holy shit, I have so much self-esteem now. Like, I think I'm the coolest, most amazing, loving, kind, courageous, brave person I know. Besides Terry, he's my favorite person in the world. But like, that's self-esteem.
Your self-esteem, like, matches the cheetah jacket.
It does. But like, yeah.
It's so different than the self-confidence. Like, when you can really love yourself. And that's what happens when you lean into this work. So
I agree.
Dan,
that's beautiful.
Tell us, I know, tell the listeners like where they can find you. Oh my gosh. I know you are so busy right now. Tell us a little bit about what you've experienced as far as like through COVID. I know you've had, you know, just a full schedule of coaching, but tell the listeners, especially the men, I would love for so many of my students and my Bonfire members, especially my dads, that are the listeners of this podcast, to find you, to book a coaching session with you. Tell us about what that looks like. How do they find you? Do you even have room for more coaching stuff right now? And maybe just a little bit of like the similarities you've seen in COVID as far as Everyone needs more support than ever right
now,
right?
Yeah, I have seen patterns. You know, when this started, I traveled a lot to teach and that stopped. And so it slowly but surely started to build up in coaching to where I'm full-time every day, mostly phone, probably 60% Zoom. I've noticed that people before who Zoom would have just not worked, you know, there's been enough challenges that now Zoom is okay because it's better than nothing. Yeah. You know, so, and I have seen patterns in families where, you know, during COVID 1 week, all of a sudden the families are at each other, you know, versus, you know, 2 weeks before people were done with it, you know, even though it's not done with us. You know, so I see a lot of patterns and this COVID creates ambiguity in the brain. And, you know, ambiguity is a certain part of the brain. It's different than risk. Nobody handles ambiguity well. Some people handle risk better than others. But when COVID is ambiguous, it's hard on us. It's going to create stress and anxiety. Now, we're getting close to where we can predict what's going to occur. When that happens, everybody's going to feel better. Now, you have some people who want to pretend like it's risk now. You know, I'll just do whatever I want. I'll accept the risk. It's just that the risk is ambiguous. It's not a risk yet. So people are freaking out a little. I notice that. Now, in terms of my coaching, like I'm full, but I always have cancellations, you know, so I wouldn't tell people not to reach out to me, but they can find me, Google me, my name is my website. But there are also, gosh, there are so many good coaches that you and I, the three of us know. So people can find someone they work with well. You know, the key I would say is when you want to coach, you're calling to coach yourself. You're not calling to fix your partner.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, you can start out with, here's what I'm mad at my kids for. Here's what I'm mad at my wife for. But we're going to talk about you, you know, and that's the key. You will never regret doing work on yourself. You will regret not. It's that simple. If you think about what would I tell my child to do, you would tell your child to do whatever it takes to have their life be as full and happy as possible. Working with someone always does that. Whether you're working with a trainer to build your physical, you're working with an accountant to improve your business, you find someone that can help you see what you don't see on the inside. Now, your alternative would be to sit down with your family and say, tell me everything that is wrong with me. And I suggest that's not as productive.
Yeah. Yes.
Because that's overwhelming. So I my attitude about it is it's a gift to give yourself. And it's a gift that if you don't give yourself, it has consequences.
Yeah.
Just what life requires. And when I think of, you know, the typical masculine man, here's what I'd like the masculine man to say. It's what life requires. We do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're a sensitive man, it's what life requires. Do it. Either way, it's the same sentence.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. All right. Well, even though your schedule is very full right now, Dan, listeners, reach out, shoot Dan an email. Even if you can get on Dan's schedule like 4 months from now, wives, this would be an incredible present for your husbands for their birthdays, for Valentine's Day, for Christmas, if you can somehow get on Dan's schedule. Or like Dan said, we have so many friends who are coaches through Your Infinite Life Training and Coaching Company. We'll make sure we put everything in the show notes page so you can contact Dan. You can learn more about his services. You can learn more about Your Infinite Life and the coaches, really big network of coaches that are under.
Yeah. And you can find someone that fits you well.
Yes, yes. And I'm always happy to help with that, my team and I. So you can always shoot me an email too. But
thank you, Dan, for having me.
Yes, that was
this is
fun.
Great.
Oh, Dan.
If you cut your hair, Terry, be sure and let me know.
Yeah, no, I feel like we're in this together now. So
it's a problem that I'm unwilling to work on.
No, it's great. I'm actually after we hang up this call, I got a screenshot this screen right here because it's beautiful.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Are
you going to shoot a photo of it?
I'm going to take a photo here in a second.
Thanks for listening,
Dan,
everybody.
Right, we love you.
Love you.
I love you so much. Bye.
For links and more info about everything we talked about in today's episode, head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/89.
For more information, go to freshstartfamilyonline.com. Thanks for listening, families. Have a great day.
All right, listeners, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. As we wrap up here, don't forget to DM me the word shift or head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to grab your free Discipline Quick Start Learning Bundle. You'll get immediate access to download our extensive learning guide where I'll share 5 ways you can ditch the old school hand-me-down punishment mindset beliefs and thoughts that are causing you to react like a volcano instead of respond like the firm, kind, respectful teacher you are at your core. And then you'll also get immediate access to my on-demand workshop, where I'll teach you our three core Fresh Start family strategies that make up a strong, compassionate, disciplined toolkit, as well as my favorite logical consequences that not only work with kids of all ages, but do wonders to unite you with your child and strengthen your relationship, even in your kids' worst moments. So pop on over to Instagram right now and just shoot me a DM with the word shift, and I'll send you a personal link to download that bundle right away. Or you can head to freshstartfamilyonline.com/discipline to get access immediately. All right. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you inside that free bundle and also inside the next episode.